11. Now, I've been doing it for over 30 years now. If you're able, I'd ask you to stand with me, please. If you're not able, that's fine and dandy. But if you're able, I ask people to stand to remind us that we could and should give honor and respect to the eternal, infallible, inerrant, perfect, preserved Word of the living God. And that's why I ask you to stand. Hebrews 11, the famous verse, is one for many of us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if you're paying any attention at all, you might have a clue that I'm going to be talking to you tonight or preaching to you concerning faith. So let's bow our heads and ask God to help us tonight. Our great God, I come to You again. I want to say thanks again. Thank You. You're so good to me. Thank You for the health that You let me have, and You allow me to preach like this, and then that I'm grateful that Pastor Parrish would allow me to come again and be here. I'm thankful for faithful people that go to church on Sunday night, and they've worked hard this week in Bible school, and now they're here again, and I appreciate them coming. I pray that You would use this time tonight to bring glory to Your name, that it would speak to us and it would help us in our walk with You and our awareness of what You're doing. And God, I pray that tonight, in some way, I would be able as a deliverer, as a preacher of Your word, to help some folks tonight in this room and their Christianity and what You say we're supposed to do, and that's to live by faith. So I pray You'd help me do that. So thank You for what we've already enjoyed. Thank You for what You're about to do. And it's in the mighty and holy name of Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hebrews 11 is well known for people that go to church a lot and so on. And I'm not going to teach you anything, preach anything new to you, but that's not my goal. My goal is just to be obedient to what I feel like God's put on my heart, and that you and I would be, we'd be improved in our walk. We're supposed to live by faith. So faith is trust. It's belief. It's, I use the word confidence and assurance. So as we talk about faith, let's go ahead and do what the Bible, or give some what the Bible says. It says, now faith is the substance. So stop right there. Faith is the substance. A lot of people, when they hear faith, they talk about faith, they think of faith being, I want to say the word mystical. Another word is ethereal. I think I have faith. I'm pretty sure I have faith. And they're not altogether positive, but they think they have faith. They think they have pretty good faith. They're pretty sure their faith is good. But I think my faith's okay. I think. I have faith that my faith is okay. But they don't have a handle on it. But however, the Bible says faith is the substance. It's substantive. I use the word like it's an ingredient of Christianity. To be saved, you got to be saved by faith. Amen. For by grace are you saved through
faith.
Yeah. It's an ingredient. It's a substance. I use the illustration like this. If you were to make some brownies from scratch, if you're going to make brownies, in the brownies you have these different ingredients, there's another word, different substances that go in there to make the brownies good. Some of you perhaps could look at a pan of brownies and go, they messed up. But many of you could take a bite of the brownie and go, you left out the eggs. These things need eggs. Amen? There's no doubt about it. Eggs are the substance of the brownies. Faith is the substance of Christianity. Now it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's substantive. It's an ingredient. But what is the substance of things hoped for? That would mean that there's something in front of you that you don't have. You're hoping for it. You're interested in it. You'd like to have it. You're looking forward to having it, but you don't have it right now. I say it like this. If you have it, you don't need to hope it. So faith is the substance of what I don't have. Is everybody on page with me a little bit? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now it says it's the evidence of things not seen. It's not only substantive and ingredient, it's also evidentiary. It's evidence. Just as if a lawyer would walk into a courtroom and present the evidence to prove their case. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Oh, mercy. See, if you told someone, I've got evidence about heaven, I got evidence. They go, well, I want to see it. Please show me. I'll believe it if you show me the evidence. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. I know you came to church on Sunday night, so I already know everyone in the room believes in a place called heaven. Excuse me, let's pretend like we all agree there's a place called heaven. Okay. There's a place called heaven. The streets are gold. Walls are jasper. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's heaven. But we've never seen it. We all believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. He is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. Amen. We believe He died on the cross. He's buried, rose again, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. We believe that. Amen. But we've never seen Him. None of us. But we believe it. I have evidence that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. They go, you do? Yes. According to the Bible, my faith is the evidence. Amen. All right. Some of you aren't with me altogether. Let's pretend that God, right now, in the next couple of seconds, He does the miracle, well, the Star Trek miracle, that He beams us all up to heaven. I'm talking now, and we're there for 15 seconds. 15 seconds. 15 seconds is a long time. Boom, we came back. Shucks. Do you know that you would not need faith anymore? Because you've seen it. If you have it, you don't have to hope it. Amen? If you've seen it, you don't have to have faith. I've seen it. I don't need faith. I already have seen it. Is everybody with me? So the Bible is telling us faith is substantive. We can know that it's an ingredient of our life. It's not a hope, so it's not a thing that we're going, well, I'm not really sure. It's something we can know. It's substantive and it's evidentiary. So when I say that it's evidentiary, that means that it ought to be It ought to be in me, and I ought to be aware of it enough for, about me that it's evidence for me. Is everybody with me? The faith that I know that Jesus is the right hand of the Father right now, my faith is evidence in me. I ought to be able to have, you ought to be able to watch my life and see my life and go, well, he sure does act like a Christian. He sure does talk like a Christian. He behaves like a Christian. But I'm not doing it for your sake, although the Lord allows that. I'm doing it because it's evidentiary in my life. It ought to show up, since we're talking about it. For a person to get saved, oh, mercy, ever since Jesus started his church, since Jesus started the church, the only way a person can get saved is by faith. You can't add anything to it. There has been friction. There has been a fight. There has been argument since Jesus started his church that the only way you can know that you're going to heaven for sure, the only way you can get saved, born again, is by faith. Because there's lots of others out there that they want to add something to it. And we know the Bible teaches that you get born again, you get saved, you're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. Amen? Watch, I say it like this. To be born again, you're going to have to realize you're not born again first, and then it's faith in Jesus alone. You're missing. It is faith, it is trust, it is belief, it is confidence, it's assurance in Jesus alone. Amen. Nothing added to it. When these folks, which the Lord's church, and I'll go ahead and say the Baptist church, has been in argument or has been in conflict with those other places out there, they want to add something to it. They say, oh, no, no, you got to believe in Jesus Christ, and then you got to get baptized. No, you don't. You got to trust in Jesus Christ and then live the best life you can and hopefully you'll make it. No. I want to punch someone out when they do that. It's only by faith alone. Amen? When someone says, oh, I'm in trouble. I can't go to heaven. I need some help here, Jesus. Jesus, will you please take me to heaven? And I'll give a big offering, and hopefully you'll take me. We will take the money. But it won't get you to heaven. Amen? The only way that you can be born again and know it solely, totally, only Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus. Amen? We have a working conversation ability about that. We know, well, yeah, that's right. You don't get saved by doing good. You don't get saved by giving money. You don't get saved by doing catechism. You don't get saved by doing discipleship. You don't get saved by, you know, any outside. It's Jesus only. We will punch someone's lights out if they mess with us about that. We know what salvation is. Amen? Because we do have an awareness that salvation is faith alone in Jesus Christ, I believe that it should help us in the command that he's given us that the just, the justified, the saved Christians, the just shall live by, say it out loud. Amen. Absolutely. We ought to have an awareness of that. So since I think we should have an awareness of that, I want you to go with me to the book of John. We're going to come back to Hebrews in a little while, so if you want to change your marker position. John chapter 6. Oh, mercy. I'm getting ready to read a verse to you, and I'm going to tell you up front right now,
I am not going to explain the whole verse. I'm going to read it all. And when I finish reading it and you're looking at it, you're going to go, oh, I wonder what that means. Now, it won't bother everybody, but a few of you, they're going, oh, man. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not telling you what it means. Okay? Not going into that. I know some of you, you can't take it when there's something like this. You're going, oh, I got to know what that means now. Well, too bad. I'm not telling you. What I am telling you, though, is if it bothers you a whole lot, make an appointment with Pastor Perry. He'll explain it to you, and it'll be easy. All right. Are you ready? It's John chapter 6. Here we are, verse number 57. All right? Now, look what the Bible says. As the living Father hath sent me. Just stop right there. Please, please stop. Please, please. I know you read on, but as the living Father sent me. Now, wait, let me ask you a question. Answer out loud. Does anybody have any clue who is talking when those words are said? Anybody know? How do you know it's Jesus? It's in red letters, honey. Yes, sir. Right there. Now, if you don't have red letters, that does not mean you have a cheap Bible, okay? But some of us got red. We don't have to figure it out. Jesus is talking. Look what Jesus says. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Anyway, the first half of that verse is what we're going to work on. As the living Father sent me. It makes sense. Jesus is talking. Isn't it obvious? Here he goes. It's obvious that he's saying the living Father sent him. I think this is cool. If he got sent, that means he was somewhere before he got sent. Amen. That's awesome right there, friend. Where was he? He was in heaven. He is the Father. He's God. No mercy. It's like that in the John 1:1, the capital W word. In the beginning was the capital W word. And the capital W word was with God. And the capital W word was God. Verse 14, and the capital W word was made flesh. He was somewhere before he got here. Amen. Amen. All right. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. I think it's pretty obvious. Jesus makes it plain that God sent him. And then he makes this plain. I live by the Father. I get my strength from the Father. I get my ability from the Father. I get my direction from the Father. I'm not down here just living on my own. What I'm doing down here, I'm living, I guess you could use the word independence. I'm depending on the Father. Is everybody with me? Turn back one page, chapter 5. Let me show you something. Oh, where's my Bible? Here it is. Okay. Chapter 5, watch this. I'll just go ahead and tell you, it's in red letters too. Here we go, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, I just want to deal with the first part of that verse also. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. I thought Jesus was God. Is he God?
Yes.
I can of mine own self do nothing. I thought Jesus could walk on water. I thought he could raise the dead. I thought he could speak to a raging storm and say, peace, be still. not like a two-year-old. It would be still just like that. Well, I can of my own self do nothing. See, here's the deal. Jesus is God, isn't he? 100% God. He is also 100% man. He's called the God-man. He's not God in man. He's not man in God. He's the indescribable, undefinable God-man. Now, my dad was my preacher growing up. I was bonded while he was in Bible college and pastoring a church in Carthage, Missouri. I was born there, and I grew up in a preacher's home. My dad loved theology. He loved to talk theology. If he got a chance to talk theology, y'all are going to talk theology, man. His favorite book in the Bible is the book of Romans. It was awesome. He loved romance. He could talk romance. Oh, mercy. My dad could talk theology, and here's what he could do. He could go down, way down deep, talking that theology stuff. You'd be down there, you don't even know what's going on. He could stay down there a long time. I'm just telling you, from my perspective, I'm thinking, Dad, I don't know what we're doing down here. I don't know what we're talking about. But he'd be down there talking. One time, he and I went on a preacher's trip. We left on Monday, got down there Monday afternoon, fellowship, got the hotel thing. Then we went to church, heard a couple preachers, then went out to eat with some preachers, stayed up late, talking, fellowship, carrying on. Got up early the next morning, had breakfast with the preachers, went and heard three or four preachers preach, had some lunch, heard another couple preachers, and then we were driving home. And I'm telling you, that much preaching will make you, it'll wear you down. So anyway, I was tired. We're driving back. And my dad says out of the blue, I was probably 24 years old, maybe 23. And my dad says to me, you know, son, I don't have any trouble with Jesus being God, but sometimes I struggle with him being man. Oh boy, we're getting ready to go down. And I ain't ready for this. So I looked at my dad, and I'm telling you the gospel truth, I looked at him and I said, I know what you mean, Dad. And it satisfied him. We didn't go down any at all. It was over. Hallelujah. Mercy, that was awesome. But I am a Bible preacher and a Bible student. And I do read the Bible and I study the Bible some. And every once in a while I would bump into that, Jesus being God, Jesus being man. And I think, oh yeah, my dad said that. Okay, whatever. Now go on. I just believe he is. I was, like I said, 23 years old probably. It's hard to believe. I was probably 53, 30 years later. I was at another preacher's meeting. I was sitting right over here. One of my good friends was preaching in the morning service, and he was talking about the ministry of Jesus and Jesus' ministry becoming evident and open where people would see it. So he was building up to it, and he said these words, and I was sitting over there, he said these words out loud while he was preaching. I don't know if Jesus knew that after he got baptized by John the Baptist, he was going to be driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. When he said those words, I'm sitting over there saying, how can you say you don't know if Jesus knew? Jesus is God. He knows everything. He knew in advance about the donkey tied up. He knew in advance about Andrew. Thomas, he knew in advance. He knows. Why can you say he doesn't know? And I was having this huge argument with him in my mind, not out loud. I was thinking, how can he say that? Then I have something that's part of my personal character in my life. I think a lot of people have it. Some people have never heard theirs go off, but most people have. In my head, I have something called a ding
a dinger.
And while I was having this argument with my good friend, my dinger went off. Ding! And my dinger said this: "That's what your dad was talking about. I don't have any trouble with Jesus being God. I struggle with him being man. Because I'm having an argument with this preacher, and if Jesus is 100% man, excuse me, is Jesus 100% man? As a human, as a 100% human, we do not know what's going to happen tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We might have some plans, we might have some ideas, but we don't know for sure. And to say that the Lord Jesus might not know, we're going to wait just a minute, wait a minute, is he a man or not? And as a, you're not paying attention. As a human, he said, the Father, I was sent from the Father, and I live by the Father. I can of mine own self do zero, nothing. Amen. He said, brother, that doesn't really make sense. I don't see how you can say that, you know, as a man, he doesn't know for sure, but he's God, so he does know. I don't know how that fits. I just said a while ago, it's indescribable and undefinable. But he is God, he is man. And it's a human, listen to what Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. You know, one of the things I think he's teaching his disciples tonight? I think one of the things Jesus is teaching us is that I have to live in dependence on my Father. Amen. Here's another way to say it. I have to live by faith, depending on my Father. I'm not here on my own. I'm not out here figuring it out on my own. I live by, is anybody getting this? The Father. If the Lord Jesus himself said that he lived by the Father, I'm pretty sure we're supposed to be doing that too. Amen? Absolutely. In every area of life, we're supposed to be living by. Come on, pretend like everybody knows what I'm talking about, okay? In every area of life, we're supposed to be living by faith. Absolutely. Doesn't matter what category I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. If we're talking about health, we're supposed to live by faith. If we're talking about finances, we're supposed to live by faith. Talking about family relationships, live by faith. Talking about work, talking about neighbors, talking about academic, school, doesn't matter. We're supposed to live by, say it out loud. Yeah, we are. I could take any category, it doesn't matter. All of those I just listed, I could take any one of them and talk to us about living by faith. I'm going to take this one because it's easy to define and describe for most humans. There's a few that it's not, but for most of us, finances are something we can understand. They were supposed to live by faith. I have heard, there's a few people, they were born into a family, they got so much money, they've never had a financial question. They've never looked at something and go, I wonder if I can make the payments on that thing. They've never asked that question. I've never met those people. I want to so bad. Tell them I love them. I'm praying for them. It's funny that in humanity that we live by faith, we're supposed to, and then some financial crisis bump comes along the way. They don't just one thing at a time happen usually. It's like three or four things. You get laid off unexpectedly. I'm laid off. I don't know what I'm going to do. The car breaks down. We can't fix it. The washing machine doesn't work. And one of the kids are sick. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It all piles up on you and you're going, no mercy, what am I going to do? I got to get a job and I don't have a car to get a job. I got to get the car fixed. I can't afford to get the car fixed. And if I put it on the credit card's already probably passed. I can't probably put it on there. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. God, I'm depending on you. I know that you know everything's going on. I can trust you completely. Thank you, God.
But if you don't hurry up and do something really quick, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to lose the car. I'm like, we're going to have to move. I don't know what to do. Even I don't have a clue what to do. God, you got to hurry up and do something. And then we go, oh, I'm sorry, God. I'm trusting you. I know that you know what's going on. And I'm going to rest in you, God. But how are you going to do it? And when are you going to do it? Because pretty soon everything's going to fall apart. I don't know. Maybe if I sell a kid, maybe we can do something. I don't know what to do, God. And then we go, oh, I'm sorry, God. I'm going to trust you. Now here's what I call that. I call that bouncing in and out of faith. Is everybody hearing me? Excuse me. The just shall live by faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. And here you and I are bouncing in and out of faith. And do you know what we do? Do you know what we do? We give each other a pass. Because when someone's over here going, when they're over there, we go, I know it's hard to trust God. I know that it's difficult, but you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to get your faith exercised here and depend on Him. I am trusting God. I'm trying to. No, you're not. Here's what I would do if I was with you. Boom. You're not trusting God. Excuse me. You say you know what salvation is. It's by faith alone in Jesus Christ. It didn't change after you got saved. When we live by faith, it didn't change any. You don't do both. Because if you come over here and try to work it out, figure it out, and all that stuff, it ceases to be faith. You want some rest? You want some peace? Get over here. And trust God. Depend on Him. That's how you can sleep at night. That's how you can not be worried. No, some of you crybabies are like this. I know, I've been around a long time. I'm not a young preacher no more. Some of you are doing this. Well, I want people to know I care. I don't want them to think I don't care. But, you know, and some of you go nuts about your child or about your job or about your finances, and you think that you're being a testimony to everybody about how concerned you are. Hey, crybaby, you're not being a testimony at all. You're showing everybody you're not trusting God. You don't have a right to talk to me like that. I am too trusting God. Well, you're not acting like it because you don't have peace. You're not resting in God. It's not a good testimony to tell people how nervous you are, how worried you are, how upset you are about what's going on in your family. Testimony would be this. I know God's going to take care of it. When's He going to do it? Well, I don't have any idea. It's none of my business. Since you brought it up, turn to Hebrews 11. I'll show you what I'm talking about. I can't keep up with my Bible. Hebrews 11. Now, I didn't write this. It's in the Bible. If it weren't in the Bible, I might not believe it, but it's in the Bible, so I do believe it. Look at it. I want to show you. No, wait a minute. Tell me, do y'all know that Hebrews 11 is the Hall of Fame chapter? Yes. Hall of Fame of faith. Oh, yeah, heroes. Oh, look at verse 13. These all died in faith. Stop right there. Hey, stand up. Let me show you something. Stand up. You know what a chest bump is?
Yeah.
Okay, do this first. Wait a minute. These all died in faith. If there were a period right there, we go, praise God, they died in faith, chest bump, hey, now they died believing God. That's how I want to die. Amen? You did good. Some people are crybabies about that. You did good. I'm glad Brother Parrish wasn't sitting there. No. These all died in faith, and we go, glory to God, that's how I want to die. Amen? Now look what it says. Not having received the promises. Well, that ain't right. I thought if you trusted God, He'll take care of you. I thought if you trusted God, everything's going to happen. I thought you'd get whatever you want if you're trusting God. Boom, smooth sailing. No, these all died in faith, and they never did get what they were believing God for. Well, why should I trust God? Do you want peace or not?
Do you want to be obedient to God? You want to please God? It takes faith to please God.
That doesn't seem fair.
I think you have to take that up with the Heavenly Father. Has God already done, I'm just going to be real simple, has God already done 10 things for you you don't deserve? Well, why should he give you anything else?
Well, it says if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you say this mountain be, you know, removed, cast in seed, and will be removed. You know, what do you mean? Faith is a grain. You can have whatever you want.
Well, I'm not going to challenge these people who are in the Hall of Fame of faith with my faith. Is everybody with me? They died in faith. Look what it says, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Well, how can you see something you don't have? And they were persuaded of them. They were convinced and embraced them. They made it part of their life. And then look what it says, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They confessed. They said it out loud. They told other people what they were believing God for. Most of what I preach and teach, I learned from a man named Manly Beasley. Brother Beasley's been in heaven a long time now. I never met him. I heard him preach on one cassette tape. I got a couple notebooks from him. I love it. You know what Manly Beasley said? He said, do you know why we don't tell people what we're trusting God for? Do you know why? Because what if it doesn't happen? We'll look like a failure. Brother Beasley said this, who said you weren't a failure in the first place? See, we think Christianity is about us. It's not about us. It's about God. And he's not a failure. Amen? I'm going to trust God, believing him. What if it doesn't happen? I'm going to die believing God. I have a sister that's about 8 years younger than me. Her husband died nearly 30 years ago. She had three children, small children, 9, 7, and 4. She didn't have a vocation. He died. He died at a tragedy at work. And she's a good Christian, good godly lady. She's not been married since. Now her three children are grown and she has grandchildren. She's not been married. She's a faithful church lady. But about 2 or 3 months after he died, she and I are talking. She trusts me. We're good buddies. And she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to live in this house or not. I can't afford this house. I can't afford the payments, but I don't know where God wants me to live. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to try to sell the house? Am I supposed to try to find another house? I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to live here or not. And she said, what do you think I should do? And I said, well, number one, you got to get this in your head. It's none of your business. I asked her last summer, a year ago, I said, do you remember me telling you it's none of your business? She said, yes. She said, when I give my testimony, people, I tell them I call my brother to get some help, and he says it's none of my business. I said, it's none of your business. It's God's business. If he wants you to stay in that house, you'll stay in that house, and he'll work it out. If he doesn't want you to stay in that house, he has another place for you to live. You'll stay in another house. He'll take care of you. It's your business to trust God. Is everybody with me? It's none of your business. About a year and a half after her husband had died, her boy now is almost 11, almost 8, and the little girl's almost 5 or 6. And she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should get married or not because I can't be a father to these boys. I can't give them the daddy image and all that stuff. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be looking for a man, praying for a man. I don't know. Maybe I should put an ad on Craigslist. Maybe I could find a man. I don't know. She didn't say Craigslist. I'm teasing about that. But we were talking about that, and I said, well, number one, you got to get this in your head. It's none of your business. If God wants you to get married, he's going to bring you into a man's life. You'll stumble into him or him into you, and you won't be able to help it. God's going to bring you together. He'll bring a man into your life. It's your business to trust God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
When's he going to do it? You're missing the whole point. It's none of your business. Help! Stop it! It's none of your business. When, how, where, it's your business to trust God. Do you realize how much it would change mine in your life if we would do this? I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I trust you. Now, I don't know when you're going to do it, but I trust you. Do you understand how much peace and rest is right here? And then you're not paying attention. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about getting along with my daughters, my son-in-law, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law. If there's friction out there, what are we? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand right here. Trust God. Don't say what if or how. Don't say that. Just say, my business is to trust God. Amen. If it's health, and everybody in here is not under 30 or 40. Some of us are up farther up. And health things come. But you don't have to be 60 or 70 for health problems. That can happen to, like we just heard this past week, a third grader has stage 4 cancer. And it's very critical. What's our business? Trust God. Amen. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Is everybody with me? I don't care. Whatever the area is, stop fretting and worrying and being an anxious wreck. Why don't we trust God? Amen. Live by faith. Number 10, I speak a little Spanish. Number 10, you got to be saved, though. Amen? Amen. Speak Spanish, too. Very good. Oui, oui. Number 20, if you are saved, we're supposed to live by faith. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Thank you for listening. We could bow our heads for prayer. I'd like to pray with you. Dear God in heaven, I come to you again. Lord, I just want to thank you again for the Holy Bible that you teach us we're supposed to live by faith. God, you've given us example of those in the Scripture. They live by faith. Even though they didn't receive what they were believing you for, they died believing you would do it. Thank you, Lord. I pray that us in this room would find peace, rest. We'd find help tonight in trusting you and stop bouncing in and out. We'd get over here where we are dependent. We are totally dependent upon you. Jesus, if someone's not saved, it's obvious you know that. I pray you'd bring conviction on their heart. They'd acknowledge and admit they need to be forgiven. They need to be saved. Lord, your people that are saved, I pray that we would yield and surrender to this life of living by faith. Thank you, Christ. Our heads are bowed. Miss Quinn's going to begin to play. As she plays the piano.